everyone enjoys celebrating his or her birthday. When it's our birthday, we feel extra special. It is a day we call our day, and we take special emphasis to acknowledge all those who celebrate their birthday the same month. Our birthday trumps all other occasions like Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and special anniversaries. We believe that there is no day like our birthday. Our birthday is the one day we can give ourselves the right to do whatever it is we choose. Friends and loved ones will shower us with gifts and flowers, dinner, a movie. The Wednesday evening Bible study group will make sure everybody has a birthday card, and the noonday Bible study class will take you out to lunch. When it's your birthday, you get that extra burst of confidence in life. And then some of us may start to act a little bougie. When somebody asks you to do something, you say, "I'm not doing anything because today is my birthday." In the workplace, many employers will give their employees an extra day of vacation for their birthday. I can remember as a child, I could not wait for my birthday because I always had a birthday party, having all my friends over for cake and ice cream, getting gifts, playing games. And when it was time for that birthday cake, everything stopped for a moment because I became the center of attention. The highlight was going to be blowing out the candles, and everyone was going to get a piece of my birthday cake. Of course, there's always that one friend who wanted to help, but the day was still my day. 2 months ago, Aiden celebrated his first birthday. And it was so funny watching him enjoy that first cupcake, that first taste of all that butter and sugar, watching him devour into the cake, no hands, all because it was his birthday. Birthdays are special because it is the day that the Lord introduces us to the world. A miracle gift as one of his beautifully and wonderfully made creations. So it makes no mistake, today is Pentecost Sunday. And for Christians, it marks the birthday of the Christian church. This is the day that God poured out his Holy Spirit upon us. It is the day God embraced us with his love and favor beyond any measure. And he did it while we were still his enemy and sinners. We have been saved through the Son, Jesus Christ, and it brought us into full right relationship with God. We are assured that God won't give up on us, and we are truly at peace with God. We can relax in this kind of love and just enjoy him. We can get excited about the birth of Jesus on Christmas and what the seasons of Lent and Easter brings, knowing that Christ came and died so that we would have everlasting life. But the significance of Pentecost in our journey of faith should not be just about the birth of the church. Pentecost should be a day of rejoicing, jubilation, praise and worship to our Lord for how he has poured his Holy Spirit into our lives. Our friendship with God has been restored through Christ's blood shed on the cross for our sins, and God assures us of his love through giving us his Spirit to live within us. We are at peace with God, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that God has given us his Holy Spirit, we can enjoy growing in the fruits of the Spirit. And there's nothing like having a good piece of fruit. The kind of fruit that produces joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what happened on the day of Pentecost should continue to happen every day of our life. Maybe not in such a dramatic way. There are not going to be any wild whirlwinds and tongues of fire. But the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside each of us who have come to know and put their faith in Jesus Christ. We are to live our lives in the presence and power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God helps us to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, empowers us to serve God with confidence and power, to know how and when to pray and intercede with God the Father. The Holy Spirit guides us, helping us to live like Jesus. So the question is, are we living our lives in the spirit of Pentecost? Are we relying on the Spirit of God to carry us through when we have trials and tribulations? Are we living our lives in the spirit of Pentecost when Arthur and Rumi and all the other illnesses and setbacks come into our lives? Or are we just sometimes feel out of touch with the rest of the world and we don't want to be bothered? We just want to sit and sulk and play that one man, one woman pity party. Are we living our lives in the spirit of Pentecost when the devil bombards us with all the despair and condemnation and we suck up and then we begin to internalize his lies to take over and destroy our joy, our spirit, and our will to want to live? Do we respond by living in our flesh, or do we respond by living in the spirit of what God has given us? So no matter what the circumstance, no matter what roadblocks that Satan may put before us, do you know and believe that God lives inside of you, inside of me, and we are going to carry on because we know that God will always see us through. So when I woke up, or you may have awakened this morning, unless you got a brand new knee, or unless you got a brand new body overnight, you knew you were going to have to grab that cane. Yeah. Or you might have had a little pain. But that should not stop you from getting around. Stop you from living for Christ. Yeah. We sometimes want to focus more on the pain and hurt in our lives and less on the power of what the faith in God can do for us. If it's your will that you want to hurt and you want to feel helpless, trust me, God is not going to get in your way of feeling hurt and helpless. And our attitude toward that situation in life often brings the condition that we want to endure in life. So if I want to be hurt with this brace on, if I want to be in pain and struggling to move around, then I'm going to be hurt, I'm going to be in pain, and I'm going to move around in my own sorrow. It's funny, as I walk through City Hall, folks always say, "Boy, that looks like a whole lot of pain." I say, "I'm fine. It may take me a little bit longer to get down where I'm going, but I'm going to get there eventually." Church, we have a choice. We can get up and let God be our pilot. We can welcome that new day that God has given us. And despite the pain, we can lean on the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, the presence of God in our lives, and through prayer, God can make that pain feel a little bit less painful, yes, and help us through the day. Yes. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For as the suffering of Christ overflows to us, so our comfort overflows through Christ." So I know my brace is constricting and it prohibits movement on my part and the ability to climb stairs as I could 90 days ago. But God has made a way for me to get in the car. I figured out how low to drop my seat. I can go to work every day. I can exercise my mind and my spirit in a much more productive way. I made some excuses coming along the way as to why I couldn't do some things. But then I said, I've got to allow God to take over my body and allow him to rule my life, that the journey to the car is not so bad and I get there a lot faster. And sometimes I'm walking, I say, "Oh, I'm at the car now. It's not a problem." I decided that I was not going to allow my condition to control my situation. And it's funny because at first in the bed at night, Pell's like, what you doing? Where you going? What you going to do? I said, I got this. And at first she had to help me out. But eventually I said, I'm going to do this on my own. I ain't going to have nobody helping me go to the bathroom at night. No. So she was checking, but she got the cup. Now she had to get the covers right. But other than that, but that's without the hurt leg, we got to get the covers right. Sometimes we are limited by our fear, by our sin, our low expectations of what may happen, not to mention our tendency to be distracted from what God can do when we allow him to work with us. So pull out your bulletin, and in the bold print, I would like for us to read that verses 3-5 together. Everybody's got it? Let us read that loudly together. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You see, church, we should not judge our trials and our tribulations by the outward appearance of how things may seem. But when we have the breath of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can rejoice in suffering because we know that God is using life's difficulties and those attacks by Satan to build our character. It's one of God's loving purpose. Our problems will develop perseverance, which in turn will strengthen our character, deepen our trust in God, and give us greater confidence about the future. It's like when you've gone through something and you've relied on God, don't you feel a whole lot stronger, a whole lot closer to God, feel a deeper sense of what it means to have him in your life when that pain and all that hurt has gone away? We should have an attitude of gratitude for what God has done in our life. Thankful for his grace and his mercy when the doctor's report actually turned out to be a little bit better than I thought when I walked in the door. Or that hurt or that loss I may have felt, maybe it's a little bit less than it was a month or a year or 10 years ago. If he got us to that place, what makes us think that he will not get us to the next place? And as my physical therapist tells me all the time, Kelvin, this is a process. Working with God is a process. He's not going to just jump you from A to Z. He's going to take you through some things. So that means you got to rely on our patience, because our patience is tested in some way every day. So rejoicing begins with thanking God for the opportunities to grow and to face them and to rely on his strength. So if God brought you to it, he certainly is going to see you through it. And Pentecost is not just about how the Holy Spirit covered all those folk that day and they became speaking in tongues. But I want us to think about Pentecost as a chance for us to confess our failure to live in the spirit that God has given us and to ask the Lord to fill us anew with his power. Prayer works if you believe. James 5:16 tells us that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful works. Because we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can allow the Lord to use our problems and our trials as tools to strengthen us, to make us more like Jesus, and to give us the endurance and hope in the salvation we need to carry us through the fire. So when that balance of life begins to weigh you down, when you don't think you could take another minute,
when the emotional and the physical pain and strain just doesn't seem to want to go away, don't forget, remember, you have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit inside of you, there is nothing that our God can do if we surrender ourselves to let His will be done. So, part two of the test, turn to the back of your bulletin. And let's take a moment to think about something that you're going through in your life right now, because all of us are going through something. Something that may be weighing on your heart, or something that you've gone through, or something that you just want to thank God for getting you to a better place than where you started. You still may not be where you want, but He certainly has gotten us to another point that we can be thankful for. Or something that you might be anticipating that's going to be happening in your life, and you just don't know how I'm going to deal with this, because it's coming up, and I've got to deal with it, and I've come up with all these crazy reasons, but I have not yet turned to God to help me answer how I'm going to deal with those things that we have. So, I want us to take this time together and loudly pray this simple prayer of hope and peace. And most of us know it as the Serenity Prayer. So take a moment and think about what it is that you want God to deliver you from, or to help you through, or to help reconcile your mind that everything is going to be all right. Let us do our prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as He did, this simple world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that if we let God do what He can, then everything is going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
We will now have our hymn of response. Just as I am. Is that correct? Because we have to come to God just as we are. We can't fix ourselves up and make ourselves look pretty and right. He just accepts us as we are. He'll do the fixing up and making the pretty. You know? So just as I am is found in our African-American hymnal. The choir will lead us in that. But we know that because we all grew up on it. Just as I am. Everybody can sing.